see, sometimes we forget that we're serving the God of Israel, the mighty one of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan for our life, and it's good and not evil. And that don't mean that evil or the devil don't come against us, but that means at the end of the day, after you wash your face, after the house burns down, you realize that God's got a better plan, and he's going to give you a better house and a better time. But it's never good to go through the trials or the affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. But the Lord dropped Psalms 1 into me because of something a lady told me. But blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I got a guy that I love at work, but he's just a rattle-headed Christian. One day he's a Christian, the next day he's not. Even worse than me now, I'm telling you. But he'll tell me, you know, to stock up on the groceries, put them canned goods under the bed. You know, God's coming. And then, like, he thinks, like, his ideal of the end of the world is, God's going to leave us down here to fight the devil, and it's going to be like Star Wars or something. I don't know, but I don't know what he watches on Christian TV, but it's not the same God of the Bible, and rarely does he quote a Bible verse. Now, that might be a good ideal, and it's okay to stock up rice and beans or whatever you want. I've been thinking about stocking a bunch of rice and beans at my mom's, because if she makes it, I'll go over there and eat some of it myself, you know? But blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And the word meditate means to mutter. It means to think over and over again. See, my Bible tells me, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I've heard people tell me this. Man, when I first came to Arkansas, you'll be lucky if you can make $100 a week here in Arkansas. And I looked like, man, I could collect cans and make more than that, you know, surely more than $100 a week. And I was amazed because, see, I didn't know no better. But, man, the first job I got, I was making $600 or $700 a week. And but I was working like a dog, you know, at Cloyd's Gear, you know, until I learned how to pray. And I prayed my way out of that position. But I was glad that it wasn't just $100 a week. But my Bible tells me, therefore, through Christ who strengthens you, you can do all things. So sometimes people tell you things and they don't even really know what they're talking about. But they really believe that. I mean, if everybody in here believed all you could do is make $100 a week, how much do you think we'd be making? $100 a week. But God has a higher plan than what we think. God has a higher plan. And all you have to do is seek God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is anybody else's delight in what God wants you to do this week? You know, God wanted you to get up this morning and come to church. I put a picture of the Italian restaurant, and I asked, what was on the menu today? And I said, my menu was coming down and hearing the pastor real deal preach. I don't know. I've seen a lot of people like that. I've seen some of the people in church here this morning. But not everybody that hit like, that wasn't on their menu today. But you know what? Every day of your life, you should be saying, God, what do you want me to do for you today? Where do you want me at today? Verse 3 is the real verse. This is what was coming to my heart when I was back there. If you're meditating on God day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water and bringing forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You know, anything that God tells you to do, don't listen to your mind and say, I can't do this. Angel, you can go to school and still be a nurse if you want to. Heck, Angel, you can go to school and be a doctor if you want to. Heck, Angel. You don't even have to drive one of them little Cadillac Escalades like BB. You could get a Mercedes-Benz if you want to. But you just got to, you and God got to decide what you want, what God wants you to do. And even if it ain't none of that stuff I spoke, I know God wants you to do something. I mean, my gosh, I never thought of Angel as a cancer survivor before. But I've been down in the cancer ward while my late wife, Mary, was dying of cancer, and she wouldn't let me sit there with her. She told me to get up and go pray, and I'd go up, and I'd go pray for people, and some of them people are still alive today. They may be in a nursing home, but now she left and went to heaven. But, you know, rather than concentrate on what was not working there while she was going through chemo, she had enough sense to send me to go pray for somebody else. But that whole ward was filled with people that were hurting, people that were suffering. My brother here, Brother Mark, his son-in-law, Ronnie, which is my cousin technically, my wife and me got married, and she had a grandmother that was 80 years old, and my wife was bragging to everybody, I'm marrying Sam now. I got me four sisters. And then I looked and I met this precious grandmother who's with the Lord now, been a Christian all of her life, outlived three or four of her kids, Walden, Arkansas, and I said, well, praise God, I got me a grandma now. And I was almost as old as grandma, to tell you the truth, you know. So, but, you know, that's my cousin, and he's standing on faith, and he's going through the battle of his life, and the doctors have told him that, you know, he's not going to make it. There's no more he can do. But, you know, the man got up this morning, and he put his clothes on, and he came down to the house of God, and he worshiped the living God like there's a God that can do something for me, and whether he does or not, I'm going to church. And how many people sat at home with no problems this morning, less than that, and didn't get up and go to church? But me and my wife laid hands on him this morning and went over there and prayed and laid hands on him, and I'm believing God that, you know, that he's going to hang around. I'm believing God for the best and forgetting about the rest. Amen? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, if you want to be a tree, first of all, you have to be planted. Some people stay planted for a while until things go wrong. Things go wrong in your marriage. I had a marriage or two, some things go wrong, but I mean, that didn't affect me coming to church or not. I had a wife that I lost to cancer. I don't remember messing any church over it. I mean, you know, but I mean, I was believing up to the last moment. So some things don't go right. You know, I put it in the hands of the living God. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with the wind that drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. My first verse is Matthew 6:33. I don't want to be like the ungodly. I don't want to perish. I want to be like that tree. And I didn't get nothing that I got. I haven't driven any cars that I've driven, but by staying planted in the house of God. When I got saved in 1992, I told God, as I was strung out, alcoholic, living above a bar, and a landlord came to me, and I owed him a couple months' rent. He told me, he said, Sam, stay here as long as you want. He goes, but don't go back in that bar and work, man. You're an alcoholic. Just go get you a regular job. He goes, I don't care about the money you owe me. He goes, stay as long as you want. Now, I had already been talking with God, and he told me to come to Arkansas. And I said, God, if you get me to Arkansas, I'll give you my life. And, you know, I don't know, but I was in a place where I didn't think my life was worth nothing. I didn't think, you know, I didn't have money to come. But I talked to God, and I asked him, and he got me to Arkansas. Within 2 days, I gave my life to God. And since 1992, my life has never been the same. Since 1992, I never had to worry about a pair of shoes to wear. Since 1992, I've never had to worry about a job or something to eat. Actually, I've had more to eat. Since 1992, and the day I got saved, the preacher started quoting Deuteronomy 28:1-16, that if whatever I put my hands to would prosper. And if I would just... my enemies would come one way and they would leave seven ways. And if you ever read Deuteronomy 28, you want those 28 blessings on you. Amen? But Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you as well. You know, in years that I've been here, I've had dummies tell me, well, Sam, why don't you go get your own church or do this or do that? Well, because God ain't told me to get my church, own church. And another reason is because this is my own church. It's my own church underneath Pastor Kelly and Brother Angelo. It was my own church underneath Brother Angelo. And now it's rolling for about 30 years. I mean, it's going into the 31st year this year in 2023. And, you know, I've never thought about doing anything that wasn't in this church. Now, I went and fed the homeless, and I do some things. But everywhere I go, I know people. My wife don't like to go to Walmart with me because there's a dozen people that want to talk to me and ask me about real estate or ask me what's going on or is the market good. I was on the phone with a guy in California yesterday, and he's thinking about buying a house. And he says, man, I made a bunch of money, and I got to get rid of it because they're going to want to take a bunch out. And I told him about a house, you know. And God has hooked me up with people all over the country because when I first started selling real estate, I thought, well, there's only so many houses in Paris, Arkansas. But God changed my mind. And then I said, oh, there's all these other offices with all these other agents. How am I, you know? But then I heard God tell me there's more than enough real estate for everybody in Paris, Arkansas. Just like there's more than enough blessings from the living God for everybody in this church and everybody in every other church. But you got to get with God every morning. You got to ask God, you know, hey, God, I'm seeking you today. What do you want me to do? Every morning, Brother Angelo, he quotes this a lot about, you know, into your hands I commit my spirit. The same thing Jesus said on the cross. And, you know, I pray the same prayers, brother. I used to sit at the table with Pastor Kelly and his kids when they were little kids, when I'd go over there with them to do business, and he'd have the Bible out doing a Bible study, and I'd have to get the Bible, and he'd do these prayers. And one of my favorite prayers that I pray all the time is, God, keep me back from accidents, mishaps, breakdowns. God, don't let me drive out in front of a truck today. Don't let me see the evil coming and let me turn it away. You know, I mean, I've almost drove out in front of some semis right there going to work before, but I just stopped, you know, and I don't know if it was an inspiration or luck, and I look around, and if I had kept going, I'd have been like mincemeat. The Subaru would have needed a little work. I don't know who would have paid for it because I might not have been here. But God will keep you safe. No fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen? So I'm going to go to Psalms 31, 13 through 16. And things happen sometimes to make us seek God. And, you know, sometimes when I first got saved, I heard that the preacher at the church, and I love Brother Robertson, he was a good man of God, he said, I hope Sam makes it. And it got back to me, and I was just a long-haired, rebel, you know, recovering drug addict that Jesus had just saved. And I thought more of myself than that, even though I'd been a bum living on the street. And I thought, how could a man of God say that about me? Looking back, I wouldn't have bet a penny on me that I was going to make it, knowing the things I know about me. But for I hear many whispering terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. Verse 14 stuck out when Pastor Kelly was using this passage this morning, the one right underneath it. But I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. And I really love this verse 16. Let your face shine on your servant and save me in your unfailing love. You know, while other people are complaining at Walmart DC 682 about how bad the job, I can't say this word, bleep, how bad the job bleeps, and you know how Sam Walton and everybody's rich, and the CEOs of Walmart, and I'll look at them and they'll ask me for my opinion. I'm saying, I wish I had went to school and could have been one of them CEOs making $1.1 million in bonuses, but I'm just happy to get the check every 2 weeks at Walmart. And I love this question. This is my favorite question too. Sam, when are you going to retire? Well, when I learn how to quit living with that $1,300 they put in the bank every 2 weeks, but I haven't learned that yet. But I'm sure it'll be in a few more years because, like I told Brother Angelo and Sister Kelly and Brother Frank at a dinner at Pastor Kelly's house for his birthday the other day, they see me come in there after I do real estate, put up with Carolyn a little bit and do some things, and I'm looking a little tired and stressed, and they're thinking, well, we don't have to fire Sam. He's on his way out. He could drop any day now, you know, so they don't want to fire me, and they're not asking me about retiring. And one boss, he's a little crazy, and he likes me because, see, the favor of God is on my life. And when his son killed himself through the drug OD, I was at his funeral up there crying with him at the front. And the dude's just a general manager of Walmart, but I laid hands on him and prayed for him, and we prayed for him at work. And every time I walk into work, I don't look around to cry baby about the job God gave me because my pastor told me, you prayed and asked for this job. Now go in there and try to treat them right and do what they say. Because I used to have this anti-boss thing about me, like, I hate them bosses, you know. I'm going to make their lives miserable. Then one day I figured, man, one time I started saying yes, sir, and no, sir, like Brother A taught me. And they started putting me down for paid sick time and giving me extra vacation time and letting me go. And I thought, man, I should have learned this a lot longer, you know. I'm going to read, my time is in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. The person that went through a divorce at work, good Christian people, I never stopped believing God for their marriage. Her husband came up to me at work crying, that heartbroken, like he couldn't believe his wife would do this to him. I never quit being friends with both of them. I kept praying with the girl every day. And 7 or 8 months later, I asked the girl, hey, have you heard from your ex-husband? And I felt like that was, I didn't know if it was me or Memorex or God, but it was God, because she teared up and she said, actually, we went on a date just the other night on Saturday night and we're talking again. Well, I don't know how God does that, but all I know is I never was enemies with him. But every day to this day, there's only a few people that I go to and I pray, and I go and pray. Now, on a good day, this young lady will pray for me, but she doesn't have too many good days. Most of the time, she's dealing with issues in her head, but I just pray that God gets us out of there and he blesses her and her husband. And I don't ask no questions, but I just let God use me wherever I'm at. My boss the other day, her father was murdered about 4 or 5 months ago in Jackson, Arkansas. He stayed living in a neighborhood that all went bad. And he had businesses, and he had like charity businesses, 501c3s, where he gave back to the community. But somebody murdered him. And this boss, when I heard that, my heart went out for her. And I mean, she had to sell all the real estate and stuff and deal with it. It was just her and her brother. But all I knew to do was lay hands on her and pray for her. And all I know is I just did what God told me to do at work. And all I know is every day I just try to do what God tells me to do, no matter where I'm at. And all I know is the favor of God comes on my life. And at a time where usually you're not making any money, people come to me with cash money and want to buy houses that I wouldn't even buy if I had millions of dollars. But then they pay me extra for getting them the house. And I ain't figured that out yet, other than God is good. God is good. And then what do? I hire Melissa's mother-in-law, John's mama, to paint these nice little pictures of the tree of life for all of these clients that buy houses. Now, I started buying it for me, but then I thought, this will make a good little house gift for the people. So I just went and bought two more and passed two more out to two different ladies and their sisters, and now they're the queens of the hill up at the top of Fifth Street. But God is good. Can anybody say God is good? And God don't bless Brother Sam because he's perfect, because Brother Sam's not perfect. God blesses Brother Sam because he suits up and shows up and he tries to have a good attitude. The other day at work in front of 600 people in a general meeting, they go, how are you? And I forgot I was at work and not at church. And I said, I'm excellent. And about 20 people looked at me like they wanted to kill me. And I said, oh, my God, I just stirred up more demons than I'm able to cast out. But I was excellent. I mean, I'm alive and breathing. Amen? And things are going to happen. You're going to hear things people say people don't agree with. People don't agree with the feeding program. People don't agree with how we're running the line on the side or line here. But, in your life, you're going to have a chance to get bitter. You're going to have a chance to get bitterness in you. In Hebrews 12:15, this message is supposed to be short and sweet, so don't worry, everybody. I'm still on short and sweet. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. People at work are full of bitterness. They're full of bitterness because somebody else has it better, but they refuse to go to school. They refuse to apply themselves. They refuse to be thankful for the job that God's given them and that they're getting a paycheck and try to do the best where they're at. But if you'll just do the best wherever you're at, and I don't care if you get just food stamps or if you get a box of groceries, if you'll just be thankful for where you're at, God will promote you and give you more. Amen? Exodus 15:22-26. I didn't know I was preaching until a few days ago, but I was looking in the scriptures and I actually posted this. And I'm just going to start reading at verse 22, and it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went in 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, or Marah, however you want to pronounce it, for they were bitter. Therefore, for the name of it was called Marah, probably bitterness. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And Moses, like a good leader, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So there's things in our life that are bitter. There's some relationships that are bitter. There's some thoughts in our head. We wish this would have worked out, or we wished our plans would have came to pass, or we wish this or that. That might cause bitterness. But the man of God, like seek ye first the kingdom of God, the man of God is you. The man of God can be Pastor Kelly. The man of God can be Brother Angelo. One time I was back there about 20 years ago, and I used to come in here with this negative attitude, this worldly attitude, like everybody's got at work. And Brother Angelo goes, man, do you want to, well, he said it in a much better tone than me. I can't do Brother Angelo like that. Do you want to be a man of God in your life or not? Which is it? Do you want to be a man of God, or do you just want to go back and be the loser you was? He might have said it in better words, you know, a few extra addings. But I said, well, I want to be a man of God. He said, well, then shut up and quit complaining and come in with a better attitude. And you know what? It don't matter if you're at work, you're at Walmart, man, if you'll just change your attitude and say, and don't believe the lies of the devil that there ain't nothing you can do for God. I mean, now do you think when I took Angel, I needed Angel to drive. I had worked till 2 in the morning, and I had two places to be at. And one of the appointments came up a few days before, and Angel drives better than me. I don't know, man. She drives. She's pretty slick. She only got into almost one accident, and she caught it pretty quick, you know. The guy comes zipping across the hill, in all honesty. When I seen the guy zipping, I thought, I hope she sees that guy. And she goes, man, he came out of nowhere. But I mean, and then she caught this $100 mistake, and I'm thinking Angel might be my driver again real soon when I go to figure the rent for these people, I'm telling you. But I'm going to read this right here. So they were grumbling. So the people grumbled against Moses, and Moses went out, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw in the water, and the water became fit to drink. And the Lord issued a ruling and an instruction for them to put to the test. And he said, if you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. I think it means I will not allow you to suffer or die like the Egyptians died, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, the Lord wants to heal us of our hurts, our bitternesses. And, you know, it's strange that he threw a tree into the water to make it. Because, see, Jesus died on a tree, you know, on Calvary, so that tree could be thrown into salvation and the blood of Jesus into our life to cover sins and to cover bitterness and to cover drug addiction and to cover the things. Because there's a reason that you do drugs, because you're trying to forget something that happened. And usually the things that happen, you can't forget, no matter how much drugs you do or whatever. Because when you wake up, those negative thoughts and those bad things that happened are still there. But when you give them to Jesus Christ, he forgives you. And he gives you peace. And more than that, some things that we stress over or are bitter over, there's nothing we can do to change. We just have to give it to God. Trust in God. Amen? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, God's got a grace for every area of our life, financially, physically, spiritually, mentally. One time in Chicago, I went before a judge for the second time. And he's known as the hanging judge, Judge Murphy. And he said, well, he never gave anybody a chance. But he said, Mr. McElhaney, I never give anybody a chance. But if you come back before me again, you will go to the Illinois State Penitentiary for 12 to 15 years. There will be no probation. There will be no other thing. You're getting this chance this time. I'm not real sure, but you're getting a chance. And I knew one thing for sure, that if I ever went back before that judge, I was going to the Illinois State Penitentiary. Does anybody know what I did? Moved to Arkansas and got saved about 2 or 3 weeks later. Let me see. I was sitting there on the couch, and I heard God, if you stay here, you're going to die or you're going to go to prison. But you can go to Arkansas. Now, all I know is I decided to come to Arkansas, and it wasn't a bad choice. In Genesis 28:15, God's grace is made for healing us. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast more gladly about my weakness, so God's grace is upon us. But here's the last one. You've heard Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. My righteous right hand will hold you. Now, this verse reminded me of that when I seen it. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised to you. When I was in Chicago, I had a promise that if I would move to Arkansas, God would be with me and he would bless me. When I came and gave him my life, I didn't have to worry about going to jail no more. As a matter of fact, when I became a real estate agent, I had to go back to Chicago and go to the probation department, the head police department. It had been years because I left on probation. And there's that little tingling in my mind like, they may put me into clink. And just to get a real estate license, I had to get all these papers to show that I had made everything right and that I didn't have no outstanding warrants or no places anywhere else. And while I was there and they were giving me these papers and they were going over, you did this and you assaulted this person with a cue ball and a sock and you beat this person in the head. They said, Mr. McElhaney, all these things that are on here today are called attempted murder and this and that. And these are all like felonies today, but back then they were just misdemeanor batteries. And you're really lucky because we can just give you all this and you get to go back to Arkansas and be a real estate agent. And then I had to write a letter to explain why the last time I was in jail. And I told them, I wrote this letter and it said, Dear Real Estate Commission, if I knew 20 years ago that breaking into that basement and stealing that yard sale stuff with my two brother-in-laws and being all intoxicated as I was at that time, and I was going to have to write this letter to explain it, I would have drank six more beers and passed out and not got this case. And I am a better man today because of Jesus Christ. And I got my real estate license, but I had to do some things. And, you know, you may have to do some things, but it's never as hard as you think to just do the right thing for God. Amen? Now my next question is, does anybody want the favor of God? Does anybody want God's plan for their life better than what you have it now? Does anybody say, I don't want to go back to before that judge. I don't want to go back to being what I used to be. I seen you. Remember when I seen you the other day and I shared some of my testimony with you, Blaine? I told you, you can have the same things that I have. You're no different than me. You're no different than me now. You just need God, man, and God will help you. You think God don't want you to be with this girl and raise that little baby? I've never seen a little baby. She just fist bumped me. That's a big thing. Man, that kid, no kids like me, except your son, Coco. There was maybe one other kid, I think. So when that kid fist bumped me, that was like $1 million to me. I thought, man, that kid's been giving me the mean eye for a long time, ever since he was a little baby. But God has a plan for your life. And it's good and not evil. But you have to work that plan every day. You have to get up and say, God, I need you. God's got a job for you. He's got a car for you. He's got a home for you. He's got a plan, man. And it may not be the same plan as your sister. And it may be school or something. But, man, just get with God, man. Seek first the kingdom of God. And if anybody wants prayer, can I do prayer for anybody? Does anybody want God's plan for their life? Does anybody want success on their life more? Anybody just want to say today, God, I'm not even sure what it is, but I want what the best thing you got for me, not next year, but I want it now. Just stand up, and I'm going to pray. Father God, I've delivered this message, Lord, and I've done the best I could tonight, and there's people in here that want your plan, your success, your place. They don't want to go back to failure, Lord. They don't want to go back. They're in recovery because they want to recover and they want to do better. They don't want to lose. They want to win with you, Jesus. I ask you to touch everybody that's standing today and let them hear you. If they've never heard you before, let them hear you louder than before and open up windows of opportunity and jobs for everybody that needs it, and open up windows and opportunities of education. Open up windows of healing and strengthen us, Lord, and cause us to live long and live strong. And cause this for a witness that they would have the greatest Thanksgiving season, the greatest Christmas season, and the greatest New Year in all their life. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, let them know that that's real right now in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Turning it over to Pastor Kelly.